This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Reveille, reveille, donks.
Look at us now, tip to tip. This is our life. This is our passion. That's the spirit we bring to this show.
I'm Luke Thomas.
I'm Brian Campbell.
This is Morning Combat.
Oh, yeah. South Beach is the backdrop indeed. MK, Miami, we back at it. Friday, June 4th, 2021. My name is Brian Campbell, CBS Sports and Showtime. That's Luke Thomas right there. The man, the myth. The aging legend. It is Mayweather-Paul fight week. We are here in Miami. Generous signage. And this is your Friday edition of Morning Combat. BC, the host. I would like to say it's an OJ Friday, but Pennington James himself is sitting like right over there. But
farting audibly.
We got a great audibly. Show for you to not only set the weekend, Mayweather-Paul Sunday night, UFC fight night on Saturday, the ins and outs of combat sports. We're going to have some guests here tied into this fantastic event, Sunday night, Showtime pay-per-view, Mayweather-Paul bragging rights. In fact, we got a guest right now. This is going to make Luke Thomas happy.
I'm very happy about
Number
this.
Number 85 himself. They call him Sweet Feet, but Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, welcome. To
Thank
Morning Combat.
Me.
We can swear here. There's nudity involved.
Me.
I love you.
Why?
I just do.
Yeah?
It's my greeting to everyone.
Okay, very good.
Chad, either I'm going through menopause or it's hot as hell here, so I'm going to hold you here and ask you the hot, hard questions here. You're making your boxing debut, four-round exhibition, two-minute rounds to open up the pay-per-view against Brian Maxwell. How the hell did we get here?
We got here because of Leonard Ellerbe and Floyd Mayweather and a relationship that we've had over the years. Obviously, using boxing as a way to prepare for football season for, what, almost about 20 years, and them understanding that with the right training and enough adequate time, I would be able to go in there and entertain and protect myself.
Put the mic a little closer to your face.
Oh, sorry.
You know, I want to go in a bit of a different direction here. You want to talk boxing?
Let's talk soccer. I mean, seriously, really?
So I'm a huge Real Madrid fan, and I know you are as well.
Yeah.
Bandwagon.
I'm more of a Napoli fan, but was a fan of Cristiano when he was there because we were cool.
Okay, fair enough. But still, I know your thoughts about Ancelotti taking over as head coach.
It's his second stint. So I'm assuming they're going to do well. They have the players to do well. I'm not sure what happened with Zidane, but...
No trophies in Madrid. It just doesn't work, man.
Yeah, it doesn't sit well.
So. All right, if you get to fire off questions that mean nothing to this fight, bragging rights, I might as well. Chad, I know
I'm just getting to know Chad.
We haven't known each other long, but real recognizes real. I can tell you're feeling some artist vibes coming off of me as what they call that BDE. I don't know if you're into that.
Yeah, that's not what's coming off of you.
But he had that in the NFL. You were as cocksure. That's an actual word.
That is.
Cocksure as anyone I've ever seen, a true artist who owned the damn stage. I know it's a little different for boxing this Sunday. I want to get into that. But just in terms of you mountaintopping, what was it like to be so free and to be a trend center and just be like, I'm the best motherfucker?
No, it was good. It was fun. It was entertaining to be in a sport, where it's all about control and them telling you what you're supposed to do, when to come, and being able to get on that field and express myself in my way. That was my artistry. You know, painting and running routes, that was my art. And it was fun.
How much time did you each, before each game on Sunday, how much prep went into thinking about if I score in this way, here's what I want to do?
Little to none. I would always think about what I would do on Tuesday, which is our off day, and I would just execute it. I wouldn't tell anybody, and I would just execute
it. Just carry it forward from that point
on. Yeah.
Wow.
And I had to rely on 10 other people for that.
Why? Because they get the ball and they score.
You know how American football works.
No, sorry, I was talking about the prep. I didn't understand that part.
Scott made a great left tackle, all right? Blindsiding me all the time. Let me ask you this about the fight, because we just chatted at the press conference, which you can catch on Showtime Sports' social channels on YouTube, and you talked about this pro boxing debut or amateur boxing debut exhibition, if it will. You said you're humble because you are out of your element. Explain that mindset where you're not coming in here pointing the camera necessarily.
That would be very dumb. That would be very dumb. I understand what's at stake. I understand the dangers of combat sports. I have a huge amount of respect being around it, being around fighters and knowing what goes on before you step in that ring. Matter of fact, I just dealt with it with the Charlo twins in Houston
because
I stepped in the ring to spar with them and their opponents, and it wasn't, oh, that's Chad. No, they fucked me up. And there was no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no, you know, white towel being thrown in. They fucked me up. So they understand and got me ready for what I'm getting ready to do. And you approach something like that where you're out of your element with a huge amount of respect, not just for the fighters, but for boxing itself.
What do you enjoy most about boxing?
The training. I like it because I lost the ability to compete, obviously, right, not having football. But then when the opportunity presented itself, oh, shit, I get to get back in that mode again of having a goal to strive for or working or just being in the gym, just doing the two-a-days with each twin. I work with one twin in the morning and the other twin in the evening. Like, that was fun, the cardio. Ooh, I lost like 20 pounds.
Yeah. You look pretty thin.
Yeah. I was like 201. No, I've never been 201, but now I'm back in my playing weight at like 180, 183. And it feels good.
Here's what's wild is that we think when we hear Chad Johnson, we think of eccentricity, all pro. We think of, you know, superstar. Mm. But your journey to the top in football, like, wasn't easy. You were too small. You were looked over. Like, you had some overcoming, humbling moments. Yeah. Do you like being the underdog again in that sense, coming into boxing from the outside, as if people want to tune in to see what it's going to look like? But people aren't like, oh, yeah, Chad's going to be great. He's going to go win a championship. Yeah, they don't know what to expect.
Yeah, nobody knows what to expect. And I like it like that. I like it like that. I'm going in here, and I don't want to embarrass the people that have put the time and energy into me the past 2 months.
How'd you get hooked up with the Charlos?
Oh, I've known them for a while.
Is that right? Yeah, are you based years. Out of Houston these days?
No, this is Miami. It's home. Like, I drove here. It took me 10 minutes to get here.
He knows where the big booty Latinos live.
In order for me to get the right work, you know, I had to go to Houston for 3 weeks. And before I left Houston, I was at Masvidal, and I put the MMA training and boxing together just so I can get my cardio and get over that hump.
So how'd you connect with Masvidal? I mean, I know you're a big MMA fan, a UFC fan.
Miami yeah, guys, right, you know?
Yeah, so. And they were welcoming the whole nine yards?
Oh, yeah. That was hard, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Jorge doesn't play. Yeah.
That was hard.
You know, not every person that makes the move into combat sports from something else can deal with the rudimentary thing that separates the tough from the not. Mm. Taking a punch, right? Being in peril and finding solutions to get out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, you've said you've been a fighter all your life. How was that for you, getting into the gym, taking those first punches, and being pushed with the, do I really want to do this thought?
You got to think, I've been sparring and taking punches always to prepare for football season and sparring with legitimate boxers, obviously not to the level of the Charlo twins, which was eye-opening once I got in the ring with them. That wasn't fair. I felt that was very unfair. That way they fucked me up. But it got me ready. It built somewhat of a I-don't-give-a-fuck mentality to prepare me for getting hit. Same way in football. Like, I didn't really care about getting hit, which is why I was so reckless in my style of play.
I have to say, you have a very jovial attitude, but there's a seriousness I'm picking up on this week.
Well, I wouldn't do it if I wasn't serious about it. I wouldn't do it. Why would I step in the ring? Right. Why?
Right.
You know? So, and just, it's another challenge. I've done some crazy shit in my life. I rode a PBR bull. I ain't a goddamn bull rider.
Right.
But I got on that motherfucker. You know? I'm not a boxer. Right. But I can look the par with the right amount of training and get in there and protect myself and survive.
Oh, he's going to get on the bull Sunday night. We're going to find out if it has horns. Believe me.
Ala Madrid.
Against Brian Maxwell. It's been a pleasure, Ocho Cinco. Thank you for bringing your art to our stage here and collaborating with us. Best of luck on Sunday.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Can't wait to see it. Thank you.
Yep.
There he is. BC?
That had to feel good, right? I mean, that's you know, celebrity-wise. He was a rising tide for our ship, okay? All right?
Yes. Mikey, can you help, Mr.?
Yeah, I mean, can you just leave the guy hanging, Mikey? Yeah. I mean, this is great, you know?
Thanks, Mikey.
We do, of course, have the opponent of Chad Johnson. They just embraced off camera. It was a good moment. It is Brian Maxwell. I want to bring him in. Virginia's finest, Luke. You are
I am from Washington, D.C., but I love it. But I went to college in Virginia. Where in Virginia are you from, sir?
I'm from Franklin County, Virginia, a.k.a., you know, the Moonshine Capital. But, you know, I reside in Roanoke, Virginia is where I train
Roanoke.
At. Yeah, and I,
you can speak into that.
Train in Gretna, Virginia with Powerhouse Boxing Gym, so... You know, I'm all over the place.
Yeah, all right. Well, happy to have you here.
Brian Maxwell, representing Virginia, as we said, you've had a pro fight in boxing. You've had some BKFC experience. But tell me the truth here. Did I read it correctly? This fight happened, you versus Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, because he slid into your DMs? Is that how that works?
Yeah, man. Like I'm still baffled by it, because when he messaged me, I was like, man, why is Chad Johnson hitting me
up? Yeah, did he ask for nudes, or you went right to the idea about the fight?
No, he's like, hey, Brian, I need your help with something.
You were thinking it.
But
right?
he had the blue check mark, so you knew it was him.
He had the blue check mark, but I still double checked, man. Like, when I clicked on it, I was like, oh, shit, this is Chad Johnson. But I still wasn't believing it because on Instagram, you know, you get people trying to sell you stuff all the time or asking you for stuff. And I was like, man, this ain't Chad Johnson. I'm not believing it. So he sent me a video. He was at his daughter's track meet. I said, oh. This is real.
Wow.
And, you know, I was at BKFC 17 down there in Birmingham, Alabama. So, you know, I'm at the fights, you know, talking to fans and, you know, taking pictures and signing autographs and stuff because, you know, I have a little bit of star power with Bare Knuckle. And, you know, I didn't think nothing else about it that night. And so I kind of, you know, threw it to the side. So, you know, after that night on the way home, you know, he sent me his number. And I'm like, oh, man, this is crazy. But, you know, I didn't end up calling him until, like, literally – you know, the next day.
Okay.
And, you know, that's the next day is when we got the offer. And I was like, what? That's why he was messing.
That's crazy. It happened that fast.
Is this a life-changing opportunity? Do you feel this opportunity?
Yeah, man. Like, everything that's came behind it so far with, you know, the newer, bigger sponsors and, you know, my hometown of Franklin County, you know. And, you know, in Roanoke, too, also everybody's showing me love and support, man. I'm super, super gracious, and it's a huge blessing. You know, I wish I had my sponsor list with me, but, you know, shout out to all my sponsors, especially Fusion CBD Products. You know, they've
Fusion,
been...
can we get a little bit here, please?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, pass the Ducci to the left side, Fusion. Thank you. But how about the fight, though? Because we don't know what to expect, and the eyes will be on Ocho Cinco, and, you know, I don't want to bring up bad memories. I mean, Nate Robinson just tried this from the NBA to boxing, and Jake Paul did bad things to him. I know you're prepared to do bad things for Chad, but how do you know what you're going to get across him? What are you expecting? How quickly could he even learn this craft?
I mean, like I've told everyone, I followed this man since the beginning of his journey is when I started my journey. And, you know, I've known he's had boxing training with Floyd and stuff to stay, you know, in shape for the offseason for football. I've watched everything, every step. I'm a huge fanboy. But, you know, a few weeks after, you know, finding out about this fight, you know, my fanboy went out the window because, you know, it was grind time. It was time to put in more time in the jungle, and it was more time to spend with my striking coach. Of course, I was already in fight camp, and, you know, once this fight was introduced in the middle of my fight camp because, you know, I was getting ready for a bare knuckle fight, you know, it's a dot in my journey in the fight camp that I decided to take the opportunity because it's not only life-changing, which it has been so far, but, you know, it's something that I've never gotten to do. It was fight an idol. I've got a running hashtag, you know, idols become rivals, and I'm going to stick to it.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
No issue with once the bell rings, socking him in the face. You're not going to ever feel any like, feel bad about this.
It feels like a feel-good story waiting to happen right here.
Yeah, because I've actually seen it. I've seen a guy who was looked up to another fighter, and they, you know, again, he worked his way up, and he actually lost the bout because he got kind of like a little bit undecided, although he dropped the guy at the beginning. But still, it did happen.
Like, all those emotions now are thrown out the window. You feel what I'm saying? We're here to entertain. We're here to have fun. You know, Chad is another man that's in front of me. So, you know, I prepared for this fight like I would prepare for any other thing. I prepared for him to punch me in the face, and I prepared to punch him in the face.
So all that remorse
is not going
to
make me sad at all. Maybe after the fight, once it settles in, I might feel bad. But, you know, right now I'm in fight mode. This is the best shape I've been in over 2 years. I'm finally getting a fight at 185, my weight class that I flourished in as not only an amateur, but, you know, my wins as a professional fighter. And I'm just ready to have fun. You know, at the end of the fight, you know, no matter the outcome, you know, I'm going to dap this man up and give him a hug.
The world's going to get to meet Brian Maxwell. Luke, as we say goodbye to him, and we wish him plenty of luck on Sunday night, it's going to open the pay-per-view card at 8 p.m. Eastern. He's no stranger to the ink chair.
Yep, hair. Gray work.
I mean, he's had the work done. What should we be looking at here? What means the most?
Obviously, your tattoos are all connected, but I'm a big tattoo enthusiast. Point out one there on part of the sleeve on either side that sort of stands out to you.
Well, I'm going to say My Batman tattoo.
Yes. Into the mic. Speak into the mic. Yeah.
My Batman tattoo is
you
my.
You got that on the softest place on the arm.
Yes, man. It definitely hurt up under the arm.
That means this guy's hard.
Yeah,
you know,
tough as shit. But why?
You know, it's my most prized tattoo. I've been a Batman fan since I was 3 years old, and literally, like, my whole life, everything has been Batman, Batman, Batman. I even had a car, a 2000 model Honda Civic that I literally named the Batmobile. Everything in it was Batman, like everything, carpet, seats, everything, headliner, you know, my front grill, everything. Like this is my most prized possession, and plus it's the one that hurt the most.
Right.
Because, you know, it hurt, but it also meant a lot just because of the simple fact that, you know, I'm a big Batman fan.
I can see that. I can see that. Well, you know what? We are, too. I love Batman stuff.
So. Brian Maxwell, we wish you the best. Great to meet you. I know you're going to have an opportunity here to make your name known, so go get it.
Yeah. Sir. Can't wait to see it. There he is.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. Mikey? That's when you come in there, buddy.
That's when you help the man out. Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. We'll teach the staff as we continue here, Luke. Unorthodox episode of Friday's Morning Combat. Weekend preview, obviously, to come. We got a couple more guests sprinkling in and out. But, Luke, have you transferred over yet? Has the switch flipped from the idea of Mayweather-Paul, the entire event, being circus, carnival, weird, unique, something we've never seen, to, oh, crap, they're going to actually fight? Because that moment happened for me during the face-off between Logan and Floyd at the Versace Mansion yesterday. We were, you know, blessed enough to be able to host that press conference stream for you in very hot.
Hot Versace.
Versace ropes. Versace. Very hot. I mean, like the back room of Hades that they usually, like, where they put the guys on the Bellator undercards, you know, that get knocked out cold and they drag them out. They bring a new guy in. Those they deposit those bodies in that back room area of Hades. It was that hot underneath there. Some could say right now we're getting close to that. But has it flipped yet in your heart? Can it ever flip? Where
no.
You're like, okay, this is actual fight now. Let's focus. It's time. Let's do it.
No, not really. Listen, I'll play ball. I'll play ball. I've been playing ball this whole time.
You've been playing two balls. I mean, you've been selling right here, okay?
I'm gonna rub my balls on you. Anyway, that's kind of weird. But still, the point being is this. In terms of the fight itself, like, dude, it is, I mean, it's a clown show. I'm not going to say it's anything other than what it is. But in terms, like, you know, playing ball with having fun with the whole thing, yeah, I think having a sunnier disposition,
yes,
a bit of a lighter attitude, you know,
I would like to believe, though, like, this is a new version of Luke, and the doc cameras are here to pick it up.
It's
and
not a new version.
I know you
Dude,
don't
this
care.
This fight is dumb.
But this
it's
is a
dumb.
Happier Luke. Luke's willing to play ball. It's like somebody drugged him up before he got in the plane, and I love it. But Luke, in that mode, in this, you know, because some people say Doc 3, which came out this week for us on Morning Combat,
yes,
that it's abstract, it's artistic, it was something.
No one really says that.
It was a little bit different in that regard. You know, this fight is that way,
yeah,
and
no,
this is a new Luke. I'm wondering, though, if you can go into wartime if needed, because we were chatting with Floyd Mayweather yesterday, and he joined that list. He joined that hit list of people that came after me. But again, I stood my ground. I was willing to play that part.
Yes,
okay,
you certainly did.
I was willing to be an opponent if I had to.
I was letting to watch you get cooked.
I'm a little, you know, I thought from Doc 2 we learned about getting each other's back. I thought from Doc 3 we learned a little bit about, you know, going to bat for your spouse. You know what I'm saying? Saying, no, look, you know, from this day forward, you're like Floyd. If you could hit him, could you hit him right there, actually, on the chin? That was very
nice. That's nice poison ivy on your neck, guy. Why don't you show more of that?
Wow. Meet the new Luke, same as the old Luke. Our producers are violently telling us that we've got to take a break. It could be because of the amount of sweat building on my brow, but we'll be back with more Morning Combat and more guests on the other side. We'll be back in 2 minutes. In 2 seconds. Chuck. Yeah, we're back. Brian Campbell, Luke Thomas, Morning Combat, a special Friday weird edition here. Weekend preview to come, but we want to continue the guests that we have lined up for a little mini surprise chat special that we got for you ahead of course, Floyd Mayweather, Logan Paul, Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on Showtime pay-per-view. Luke, there's a man who is fired the hell up about his fight on Sunday night. It'll come on that pay-per-view main card. Middleweight Luis Arias heading against your boy, Jarrett Hurd.
Yes.
And not only is this going to be a great fight, the trash talk between them.
Insane.
It's gotten good. It's gotten me fired up. It's gotten me like, I'm a little itchy. Like, I have a rash. Like, I have poison ivy on my neck. It's like.
You do have poison ivy on your neck.
Well, yeah, I do. But I feel that feeling very itchy. If we can bring in Cuba around the corner here and
there
get this party started here. A battle-tested middleweight, Luke.
Come on in,
Luis Arias in the house.
There he is. Cuba. Be sure to talk into the microphone.
These desks break easy. It's not just, it's not that you're that powerful, but he is pretty powerful right there.
Welcome, sir. You're the most fired up guy on this card, more than anyone
100%.
Else.
I got it. This fight is the most meaningful for me. I mean, the first card is whatever. Badu Jack's opponent's last replacement, so, it's whatever for him, too. You know what I mean? He wants to win, but his chances are slim. I think everyone's going to pay attention to this fight. You know, it's a huge fight for me. My last couple fights, I've been right there. I've been fighting title fights and world title challengers, and I'm just one step away. And this is it, man. This is the perfect name, the perfect opponent for me to finally, cross that line and get into the mix.
This would be a signature win for you, yeah?
Very signature win for me. You know, that's all I need is a signature win.
Jared Hurd, of course, held two titles at 154, was the class of the division, beat Arislandi Lara before being upset against J-Rock Williams. But he's moving up to 160 here for what he calls a one-off. And that's been a big contention of the beef between you two, where Swift says, after I get this win, I'm going to go back down to 54, unfinished business, as he calls it. We all want to see him fight Charlo if they both can advance. But this man's like, hold on, forget future plans.
Right.
Isn't this a present plan problem that this guy's coming up to 160 because he couldn't make weight? It all happened because of a damn pizza slice.
Here's what he told us about that. He said that the pizza that you got it wrong because, this was his words, it was a cauliflower pizza.
Right. With pepperonis on it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the fact that, when the fight, if you can look at my record, my last couple fights have been strategic. Everyone's been a title challenger or highly ranked in whatever belt. And when they brought the fight to me, it was at 154 pounds. He had just got ranked number one by the Ring magazine. I had told Floyd and told Leonard, I had plans of moving down. So, you want to fight Hurd? I said, 100%. You guys, that's big. You guys bring me the number one guy right away. Give it to me. That made sense to me. I want to fight 154. I want to get that belt at 54. So give me the number one guy at 54.
Right.
And so we had agreed on that. And then time goes by, and he's like, I can't make 54. I'm coming down from 215 pounds, so we got to fight at 160. Now, at 160, I'm like, okay, even if I beat you at 160, you're not ranked at 60. So right. It's a meaningless fight in terms of ranking and putting myself in position. But he's still a good name, so that was my whole thing. Is just like, okay, you say you're professional. You say you want to be the top guy at 54, but you want to fight at 60.
I see.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, I can understand that. Still, is it just the weight class issue that has bothered you about him? Because it seems you guys definitely been butting heads a little bit here this whole week.
That was my whole thing was just like, you're playing with me. Like, you're telling me, since February, squeeze down. Like, we're going to fight 54. We're going to get this. We're going to go for 54. Squeeze down. Oh, actually, he's getting too fat. Get back up.
And so when you saw him eat the pizza, you were like, "Are you out of your
mind? Come on, man! You're bullshitting. Being unprofessional is the reason you lost them titles to begin with.
Oh wow!
You should have just told me from the jump. I'm too big. Let's just fight at 60. Then I would have changed my shit around and worked on getting But you waited till the last couple of weeks because you're like, I'm too chubby.
Right.
So I don't want to make 54.
Well, you've been in the ring with some big names. Danny Jacobs is a Suletsky. I mean, you've got experience against top middleweights. Jarrett's style, or when he's utilizing that best style, is that pressure style to break you down. How will that match with your aggressive style from the standpoint of fireworks on Sunday night and the standpoint of does that play into your favor if this thing gets messy?
I think it does. I mean, right now, he's in the middle of switching styles. So I think he's going to go in there trying to box, because that's what they've been trying to teach him is box, even though he did a very bad job boxing his last fight. He's going to try to box, but then when I hit him in the mouth and I catch him, I'm going to bring the old Hurd out of him.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Even in his last fight, he tried to box early. But by the end of the fight, he was getting back more to that rough and tumble style.
Because the guy
style.
Came on, right?
I mean, yeah.
Right. Like, so he started out sticking the jab and moving, but by the end of the fight, that was out the window, right?
Yeah, because it's like boxing is you hitting them and they don't hit you.
Right.
That's boxing. I hit you, you don't hit me. He was hitting him, but he was still getting hit back a lot. So he was like, you know, I got to switch this up. This guy's tiny. Let me start picking it up.
I see. Yeah,
you know, and I feel like it's going to be the same thing. You know, so if he goes to the 40 pounder.
So if he's going for the inside style, you're okay with that?
I'm good. I'm it's better for me. The closer he is to me, the more I can hit him. I'm the smaller guy. I mean, shorter.
Right.
So I need him closer. Like I need this to be a close fight. I need this to be, you know, I don't want to go chase him. I'd rather him be right there so that he can just duke it out.
I assume that you've had a chance to share the ring with Floyd Mayweather sparring.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that like? To put us through that, I mean, how different that is compared to the normal sparring getting because of the brain up there.
Honestly, that's how me and Floyd got back together was we sparred. Like, originally, I was in Vegas, and he flew me down there. He's like, yo, help me for Logan. Like, just help me just get ready. I just want to get sharp. So we sparred a couple times, and man, Floyd's still sharp, man, honestly. I'm telling you, Floyd can still compete with a lot of these top guys at 47. 100%. Like, he's still got his legs. He's still strong. Like, Floyd's a lot stronger than people think. Like,
I've heard
he might not be, you know, but, like, in terms of, like, pushing him around and, like, him squeezing, like, hold, like, on the clinch, like, he's strong. You know
what someone told me? Lamont Peterson told me that he sparred with Mayweather one time and that he got jabbed in the belly, and it wasn't, like, the hardest, like arm punch.
It was accurate.
He said it felt like a stab. It went right through him a little bit. He still got a little bit of that?
Yeah, he still got it. Like I'm saying, I'm telling you, he had a picture up when he was bloody. He was beating some of those guys up like bad. Like in the I don't really see like the opposition because obviously they weren't at his level.
Right.
But it's the punches that he was putting together, the combinations that he was putting together, like the defense behind it that I'm like, man, he can still compete.
How long do you think Logan lasts? That's really the operative question, right? It's not winning.
I don't think he lasts eight, but I give him to like about five, six.
That's pretty generous.
He's a big kid, but
he is a big kid.
I saw the All Access. I mean, that fired me up too. I was like, man, he looks big. Like he had muscles in his back. You know, like that's gonna help. And he's gonna weigh 190 tomorrow, but he's gonna be about 200, 215, 200, probably like 205 maybe. You know, come fight night. Floyd weighs 150 with his clothes on.
Yeah.
a marvel. So. Luis Arias Cuba, it's been great talking to you, man.
Well, question. Let's say you win against Jared Hurd, big time, right? Let's say it's just everything you were looking for.
Yeah, 100%.
What's the move after that? You're still going to go to 154? You're going to call someone out?
The move is to still fight at 154 pounds. I mean, like I said, that's why I didn't want to fight at 60, because it's like, oh, well, you beat somebody at 60. I can't call anybody out at 54 when you're not even fighting at 54. So, but I mean, me beating Jared Hurd and me looking good against Jared Hurd just puts my name in the mix, and it'll be able to bring me one of those guys. So that means the next fight, it'll be closer to 154, and then when I beat that guy, then I can call
someone
out.
You'll be in the sweet spot,
yeah. I can't call out Charlo right now at 54,
right.
And he's like, dude, you're fighting at 60, call my brother out.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight. I'm fighting at 54, so.
Fair enough.
He wants the belts. It doesn't make no sense.
He wants the smoke, he wants the belts. Cuba.
Love the attitude, man. Look, can't wait to see the fight.
Me too, man. It's going to be a great fight. Like I said, we're still in the show. Like, the boxing light is going to be on this fight.
Yeah, this is the truest boxing fight
on the
card.
100%,
yeah, competition-wise, competitive, it's going to be great. Great chatting with you. Best
appreciate
of luck, man.
Can't wait to see it, man.
Yeah,
good
man,
luck.
It's going to be a good one.
All right,
there he is.
Luis Arias getting a few minutes with us. I love the passion.
Yes. That's for sure. That's the boxing on the court.
If you
right
can
there.
Go into the Mayweather Boxing Club in Las Vegas, the doghouse sparring sessions that they have, and you even get in there with Floyd, and you come out of it, and you're battle tested like this guy, you can play in this game. You know, you're
for
in
sure.
here.
He's a real boxer. He's a real fighter. That should be. It is a real fight. That should be good.
That should be really good. Very good.
I am interested about though. I gotta say, Hurd looked good yesterday. He looked like he was in good shape for sure, but. The weight thing is, it's a little interesting to me.
It is.
With that long layoff, I get why he didn't want to immediately go back to 154, but...
And in mindset-wise, you know, he lost his father to COVID over the quarantine and, you know, played a big part in every part of his game, boxing, his life. He lived in his parents' house when he was unified champion. I mean, he hadn't moved out yet. So I wonder if he comes back, a different man with a different level of focus. I think there's a lot of questions to be answered by his team there with Kay Caroma, the great trainer, who, you know, they tried to turn him in the Santana fight that we were at in Brooklyn into more of a boxer. Can he pull that off? You know, can the old dog thrive with the new trick? Or like Arias said, will he go back to the Bronx style? Is the Bronx style the best version of him? You know what I mean? If he's going to go in there against Charlo one day, if they both get there, and we don't know. Or if he goes in there against anyone who's wearing most of or all the belts. He still has to be a dog to win at that level, right?
For sure. For sure. I mean, this is merely a step in a potentially positive direction. But there is so many unanswered questions. There's innumerable hurdles to get back to a space that, you know, is possible at the highest level. So listen, one thing at a time here is what I would say. But let's see how it looks.
Do we have another guest coming through?
I don't think we do.
Pennington,
do we?
Or are we good to flow? All right. Well, Luke, let's talk about.
You guys have a little talk.
Let's get to how this main card may play out. Let's hit Chad Johnson versus Brian Maxwell. We heard from both of them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it's going to look like? What
I think
can we
Brian
even
Maxwell's
guess?
Maxwell's going to have a good night. I'm not getting a great vibe from that one. And I've heard some stuff about the relative abilities of either guys from people in the know. I think Maxwell. I don't know that he will win, but I think if anyone is imperiled. I hate to say it because, you know, he is a Madrid brethren, but Chad Johnson might be in trouble.
It's going to be interesting. What could he learn in a short time from guys like the Charlo brothers or the other, you know, big names that he sparred with? We will have Badou Jack coming up in a second, but that's going to be interesting. I don't know if I should question the confidence of Johnson or just say, hey, he's been pretty humble. He's being pretty respectful
of
the sport.
Humble.
You
yes,
know?
Yes, yes.
Does that mean that the confidence level isn't there? I don't know.
No, I think he's taking it seriously. I'm not reading into it like, oh, he's shook or whatever. I don't really get that sense. He's focused. I think he did the work, but I just feel like, dude, the bare knuckle dude. Maxwell from Virginia. I mean, he's from the sort of southwest of Virginia.
Southpaw. That's not an easy thing on your first.
No, and he's a place from a rural part of the state, and he seems like he's tough and about it. You know, is he the most skilled boxer on the planet? Probably not, but he definitely seems like a real one and a tough as shit kind of guy. In terms of fighting, I think the Maxwell kid has been in the trenches a lot more than Chad Johnson's. We'll see if that translates, but
Chad
that's kind of the vibe that I'm getting.
Chad says he identifies himself as a fighter, someone who's been fighting all his life, has been doing boxing,
you take
sparring
this so
outside.
Seriously. Chad has identified himself as a boxer.
Wow.
I mean, dude, we're talking about a YouTuber again who's going to get stretched by Floyd.
Wow.
Can you drop?
You gotta drop the broadcast live feed.
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
You know, listen, they got Morning Combat on the step and repeat.
I mean, we're,
so.
You know, there's no fruit flies here, so we're off to a good start.
It is. We are actually, people don't know this. That we actually, someone should alert NASA. We are actually shooting this on the surface of the sun.
Yeah, it is really that hot.
It's 50,000 degrees Kelvin
Luke,
in this room.
You know, we were talking about, I thought we were going to break down fights, but why don't we just get shitty? Doc 3, it came out. You didn't even watch it. You're not even going to watch the whole thing.
I watched about 7 or 8 minutes of you in Puerto Rico. Fumbling for
here's what I think.
Here's you in Puerto Rico fumbling for a plot line.
Why did I have to do that? Because maybe maybe my co-star doesn't want to be a co-star. Maybe my co-star is a bit player, a key grip, a best boy, a supporting act. All right, I had a Pippin for 2 years while Jordan was out.
Ever.
You know. Will you be back for Doc 4? Because I've seen this morning you no-showed our doc shooting by the
you
pool.
You and the fucking Showtime producer, where is he?
Less than Jake?
You two made plans and didn't tell me when I had already gone to sleep, so I wake up in the morning.
Did you see the text? Yes or no?
I was asleep when the text got sent.
Yeah, but the plan started at 9:30 or something. I mean, I think you wake
I
up
I was
before
up at
that.
9. I was up at 9, but, you know, Jesus Christ,
were you
guy.
Hibernating?
Listen, your boy's washed. I mean, super washed.
You blew off our steak dinner last night. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I did. I opted to eat by myself in the room.
Hey, good luck, guys, on Doc 4. Hope you can take some of this shit, Jake. And
You should not have published Doc 3. That's my attitude.
Since we're already here and we're this shitty, I didn't know something. So J. Aaron Pennington's got a new single out, Luke.
No one cares.
I didn't care because I thought it was like another cover and minor that the world didn't need. Do you know this is actually an original track? It's called Believe Me. It's out... This is Jay's first original track in 20 Pennington. I'm sorry, in 20 years, bro. All right.
Believe me, is he confessing to sex crimes?
He's right
what
there.
Is it about?
Yeah. Coach Sandusky's right there. By the way, no, I wish Jay well. I mean, he's taking his art and he's boldly putting it out there, Luke. Okay.
He is.
I mean, who's risking more this weekend?
Chad Johnson or
Jay? Really?
I would use the word stubbornly. More than passionately producing his work out there. But, yes, he is putting his work out there.
All right.
It is. In fairness to Brian, who was sweating like Patrick Ewing going up against the, you know, Jordan-era Chicago Bulls in the playoffs.
Kevin McHale was a giant sweater as well.
McHale?
Oh, my God. He had his own sweat boy who would stay in with the towels.
Ewing had one.
Yeah,
all those seven. If you're a seven-footer, yes. Olajuwon, all those dudes, once you left the court, they had to get the dudes to come and mop up after you. Yeah, that's true. Luke Longley, I never felt like, though, was that way. Was he a big sweater?
Australians don't really sweat.
I feel like they're used to that heat.
Yeah, yeah.
That's science.
They grew up around that heat, all of them down on the... Hey, shout out to Submission Radio, the boys had me on.
How was that?
Casper and Dennis. Love the... You know what? Right away, I could tell They're kind of like us. They're like our ilk. They could swim in our pool, okay?
They're our Australian relatives.
They are. Yeah, if we were in Australia and maybe a little younger and in better shape, we would probably be the number one show to them at number two.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Oh, that was a jab. They could play. Hey, they
Dude,
do.
Dude, why don't you tell the audience
They do big numbers, all right?
Listen to this. Tell the audience how you fucking introduced Chad Johnson. Brian hosted the undercard press conference just before the show here, and he had to introduce people. Tell them what you did to introduce Chad Johnson, how he didn't knock you the fuck out.
It was a lead-in. He was sitting next to me. I was at the podium, and it was a lead-in to the next question, and I just basically said, you know, for a guy who's known for catching passes for a living, we're going to find out whether he's going to catch that fade on Sunday or he's going to be the one delivering it. And, Luke, you know, I looked over quickly. I was like,
he must have been like, what the fuck? Why would you say that?
Is that you, Floyd? Is that Mike Perry? I mean, Mike Perry was here this weekend at
no way.
The Jake Paul Woodley close-up, and we had Showtime cameras there, and Less Than Jake, our documentarian, got an interview with Mike, and they talked about fatherhood.
No way.
That's reconnaissance work in the
That's
moment
sick.
Right there. Yeah.
I can't tell if they're on or off again. Are Perry and Paul boys?
I think Perry was there for Woodley.
He was there for Woodley. Because Perry did train with Jake Paul. I know that happened.
I don't have that information. Did you see their stare down yesterday?
I thought it was pretty good. Dude, Jake is...
Why was Dave Portnoy of Best Buy?
Okay, I was asking Barstool, Showtime. Can someone from Showtime explain to me? Why was Dave Portnoy the guy doing the face-offs? Showtime, why was Portnoy doing...
Bitcoin conference, really.
So they're telling us he was here for a Bitcoin conference. I wasn't against it. I was just like...
Dixon Dogecoin. That's what Morning Combat got for you,
How did
here,
he
right?
get involved? That was the answer. Dude, Jake Paul is... He's...
Oh my God!
I'm kept too big,
dude. These chairs. Look at this guy. You've been in the weight room, you big fuck. I can see it,
bro.
I know.
Bro, you gonna let him talk about your form like that?
Hold on.
You could lift both of us.
Did he criticize my form?
Hold on.
That's
usually
what the bros on cult and the zoo culture do.
Hold on.
I might enter the thick boy club, and we'll send you to hell for this.
We can send me to hell.
Well, he's vice president of the thick boy club.
Yes. Yes and no. The deadlift I thought was sensational, and I told you as much. Your bench is. It's a problem.
Oh, the 400 was a problem for you?
Here's the reason
why. Hold on. Before you criticize it, how much can you bench?
Less than that. Okay. I said as much.
I mean, what are we
when
doing
I criticize
here?
You,
I mean, come on, bro.
No. Hold on. Run the tape. When I criticize it, I said,
This is what I get. Like, when I did my special, people are like, oh, I would have done this, and this. Yeah. I'm like, oh, cool,
no.
Dude. How long have you been doing stand-up?
Yeah.
Like, never done. Like,
I've been sitting for a while.
Don't count.
Yeah. Brendan Schaub, obviously, below the belt, professional comedian. Can you put respect on his name?
I have my lifetime max is 395. I'm a terrible bencher.
It's pretty good, though.
It's okay. It's fine for an average dude. That's what it is. Your ass can't come off the bench. You can rack it with your ass off, but once you want to,
you're talking competition.
What counts as a real bench? You got to have your rear end down. Otherwise, it's leg drive all the way through.
I guess, Daddy.
I feel like spoiled meat between two pieces of rye, right? This is a great sandwich of
up just like you did.
Listen,
you know?
You're strong as fuck. There's no denying.
There's no reason for it.
This was a long time coming to take brands and rub them against each other and just see what kind of sparks and magic.
I'm so
artistry.
Pumped for the weigh-ins tomorrow.
Yeah, me too.
So for folks who may not know, it'll be this trio. We're hosting the weigh-ins at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino or the Seminole,
I don't have information like that, but I'll be there. You know what I mean?
Did you get in?
Late last night.
Yeah.
So, Shab, I want to ask you a key question. I don't know if you saw Luke and I hosted in the sweaty Versace robes yesterday.
Were you guys at the Versace Mansion?
In Versace robes.
Their expense report approval team on that one. And, you know, Luke's decision to normally be I'm called the factory town guy, but he's very industrial. He's not stylish. He comes in there with the pink pants for South Beach. A lot of people online going, the Shab influence running.
Dude,
after
the show was over, I looked at my phone. And, everyone is insulting for a variety of reasons. I got more insults or questions about the pink pants than anything. Those lifter legs,
those ham hocks that were hanging out
in
there, right?
Okay, fair enough. Don't put me in these fucking director chairs, and I won't look like a goddamn polar bear riding a tricycle for fuck's
sake. Yeah, there
was
a lot of chat online about your pink pants. Yeah, that's what you want, man. It's a fashion statement.
And also, dude, look around. It's fucking Miami. You want me to wear khakis with pleats? Eat shit. I was wearing pink pants.
I'm all for it.
Thank you.
I'm all for it.
Are you going to wear something outrageous tomorrow and make us look weird?
Probably not outrageous, but probably, you know. Yeah, probably, cool. Probably won't look like I'm hosting a golf show, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very
probably
fair.
Probably not that.
Yes, very fair. This is the golf channel. Yeah. They changed the step and
this is the low testosterone channel right here. Yeah, this is great. All right, great. I mean, you know, if you had Brendan Schaub next year, they didn't tell us this was going to happen. We didn't get to prepare.
No, they just brought you in here.
This is magic right now.
This hotel is nice, bro.
This hotel's real nice. Does everyone stay, all the talents here too?
Yeah, for the most part.
I'll tell you what's crazy about all this is...
You've been to Florida a lot recently too.
Too much.
Yeah.
Some would say too much. It's a long flight from LA and Florida. And
yeah,
so weird,
dude. Was it 6 hours?
Yeah, it's a beast. But what's weird is, you know, when this fight got announced, I was like, oh yeah, you know, it's an entertainment fight. It's whatever. Like everybody knows, you know, Logan, he's probably not going to do much.
Right.
And then, you know, that gym I work out, Zoo Culture, it's like fitness influencers, like Mecca. They're all the biggest names you've seen. They're in there.
Great gym. And never been there.
It's great.
It's Bradley Martin's gym.
Yeah. And before I left yesterday, I was working out. They'd come up to me like, dude, how's it going down? What's going down? How's this thing going to go down? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I saw the countdown with Logan, man. He's looking crisp, dude. I'm like, oh, you guys think he's gonna win? Like, hell yeah, man! I'm like, oh, this is perfect. This thing's gonna sell, man.
Tricking gym dude since 2017 at Showtime pay per view.
We looked at the odds yesterday. I couldn't fucking believe
what is it?
Floyd is only. Understand? Yes, he's gonna be the favorite. Obviously,
if he's not a -15,000, I'm gonna freak out.
He's -900.
No way.
Logan Paul was +500 yesterday, dude. I was like, who the fuck is making these odds? You saw on the special, Floyd called it legalized bank robbery.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
It's about what it is. Because we had Logan there yesterday. I was like, dude, you know, motherfucker, you know you don't have to win. All you got to do, clean shot.
Survive.
Some kind of moral victory. Everyone will be like, oh, okay, that's great, you know?
Brendan was Team Schaub before it was cool, though. I mean, he was day one on realizing
team
that
Paul.
These guys. I'm sorry, Team Paul. Team, Paul, team Schaub? That's a separate team we're starting?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Thick team. Team Paul, you had them on your shows. You were saying, you know, these guys are actually pretty funny, pretty cool. Now they got Showtime boxing deals. You didn't think that would happen, right?
No, I didn't think it would happen like this. I separate Logan and Jake. I separate them as boxers.
They're pretty different.
They're completely different. And I think Logan, you know, this would be a fun fight. It's entertaining, stuff like that. And he'll make a ton of money. Jake, to me, signing with Showtime and signing a multi-fight deal, to me, he wants that validation as to be taken serious as a boxer.
Yeah.
It's no different than when, for me, it meant so much for me to be on Comedy Central because I wanted that stamp of approval. I go, yeah, he's funny, man. He's on Comedy Central. So I think for Jake, him being associated with Showtime, you know, granted, we all work for him, but as far as boxing goes, there's nobody bigger, man. That's what you look at the history of boxing, like it's boxing royalty. So I think for Jake to come over to here, he's taking the necessary steps to be taken serious.
But each one is more elevated than the last. Like for me, the Ben Askren fight, candidly, it didn't mean anything to me.
Still interesting though.
So he made a ton of money, but I'm just saying personally, I'm not asking anyone to agree. Just to
that
be
was
personally.
Ben with the bad hip. Right?
Yes, Ben. Yeah, well, he had the hip replacement, the whole thing. But this one, certainly, there can be no denying that Tyron is past it for an athlete. But even Dana White was like, the dude can punch. You saw him against Vicente Luque. He rocked him before the fight was over. It's an increasing...
That's going to be theater. That's going to be fun to see.
What I'm saying is...
That's a tough fight, man.
It's an increasing level of danger, I think, that Jake is taking on.
And here's the point is you'll see people online or even people in person go, he needs to fight a boxer, man. He needs to fight a real boxer. It's like, dude, he has 3 fights. Look up any of your favorite boxers... First 5 fights, they're fighting fucking trash can guys.
Right. Like sometimes these guys the probably, same guy under
probably,
different
yeah,
names.
Yeah, they're probably not even in the business anymore. So it's like people want to just shove these guys into the limelight and fight these real pros. And it's like he has 3 fights, man.
I know.
Like Woodley as your 4th fight ever. You know,
it's pretty
insane.
Yeah. And in the main event, you weren't fighting in some bingo hall for your 4th fight, knocked some guy out in 2 rounds who was, you know, whatever.
A lot of pressure.
This is a huge amount. And here's the thing about Jake, dude. Like, I go through and I read the comments about him. His comments.
Oh, okay.
They're super interesting.
You say you never look at the comments.
No,
other people's.
I glance.
Yeah.
I glance.
That's fair.
You're really that secure, you never look at the comments.
No, I'm telling you. I do on occasion. But look, back to Jake. He had some long rant yesterday about fighter pay, and you look at all of the comments, and they're always like, you know what, fuck this guy, but God damn, he's right.
Yeah, he's doing the necessary steps to get respect from some. You're never gonna get. I don't think he'll ever get respect from like the true box and aficionados. Yeah. Like they're so old. They're dinosaurs. They're dinosaurs.
They don't even realize like the potential good that this season could be of the
ball. But they're also stupid. Sorry, they're also a lot stupid because like Muhammad Ali fought Lala Zedo. Like there's like they've been doing this forever, dude.
Yeah, as
like,
long
there's
as
a lane for it.
As long as it's not your central business. As long as you don't make it your central business. You can play with this stuff.
That's what I'm saying. There's a lane for it, man.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lane for it.
Yep. The Transformers sells lots of tickets.
Yeah, you look at the movies that do well. Yeah, these stupid superhero movies. I'm not into them.
What do you think from the standpoint? Because look, Luke hates pro wrestling, but this has like a pro wrestling feel only in like the storytelling and the matchmaking. You know, some of us are like, is Jake going to parachute in and get a Floyd fight after? We don't know until Sunday night. But do you think the mountaintop moment for a Paul brother, probably more likely to be Jake, could be Jake versus Connor one day? Is that like the thing?
Grand theory is everything is working towards that.
I disagree with that. I think everything's working towards Logan versus Jake.
They did talk about that during my interviews with them at the gym. I put out a story today on CBS Sports using those quotes, asking the same question.
That's where all
they're
this
on
is
the
going.
Fence.
Are you closer with Logan or Jake?
Logan, for sure. We live like 3 miles from each
and
other.
So he's down with this idea?
They're both on the fence. Straight. I'll give it to you.
So unusual to see brothers embrace that idea.
Logan wants it more. He says the parents are going to dad. Factory Town Dad is not going to be a fan of it. I mean, who would? But I think they both recognized the history making in it and how weird it is. But it's the biggest weird thing you could ever do. Like, I mean, what is the pay per view buy potential in Paul versus Paul? I think it's creepily weird. It could be 16 million for all we know. I mean, stupid. It could be stupid numbers.
Settle down.
But you know, million? But yeah, that's a joke.
I mean,
but
it's a $5 pay per view.
You
yeah.
know, it could be 100,000. But you get what I'm saying, though.
I'm with you.
It's a new category. But I think they would.
I think you were going to make this point, Luke, and I'll beat you to it. I think let's see how this pay-per-view does, because I don't think the true box, like, I don't think Floyd's fans are buying this. I think they're like, I think maybe some are, but the majority of boxing, I think we're banking on Logan's fan base buying this.
That's interesting. Yeah.
But if we're leaning on that, he's got 29 million YouTube subscribers. That's a lot of cool cats and kittens out there. I mean, that's wild.
Also, here's the trick for Showtime, BD, you got to keep them. You got to keep them. So if you sit up there and it's four guys in golf suits and these kids are tuning in and they're like, dude, what is this? You know what I'm saying? They're like, what is this? Yeah. Like, you got to balance that.
We're these sweaty white men. Mommy, why are we watching this? You know, that's what it's going to be said.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that.
I'm not saying throw Doja Cat in the middle of the 12th round and dance on the ring, but you got to teeter on that line. Of entertaining these young kids, and also making them boxing fans.
Right, so, and there's some fear that you're so strong that you're going to elbow through in WWF style and just break that desk.
Let's talk real quickly about what you're doing on Sunday night. So you're going to be basically Jim Gray, more or less. That's the role.
Jim Brown, they're going to call him. Big Jim Brown.
Big Jim Brown.
Is that name taken already?
I think it's a combination of Jim Gray and Pete Davidson. You know, I'm not sure, man.
So you'll be outwardly, you have a bong or more, you're like, like raps.
You know what's weird is, and you know this, you know, you've been around fight games, especially with UFC, it's like, I wouldn't want to be interviewed before a fight, man. So for me as a former fighter, like going there, interviewing Logan Paul, but though I'm happy to do it, and I'm glad to do it, I'm so curious where his mindset's going to be at the night of the fight. Like, because... You know, I fought in some big fights, man. I had a pedigree, Gold Gloves boxing champion, jiu-jitsu. And then I got to that point where there's a build-up, and I can realize the big moment. He's never had that, and he's never won a boxing fight. And now you're warming up to fight the best of all time.
Yeah, in a giant fucking stadium.
And I'll tell you what, this is what I expect. Confidence. That's what I find fascinating about him and his brother. I feel like... I don't think I'm going to go in there. Everyone's like, you walk in some of those UFC locker rooms and like, Jesus Christ, what am I doing? Yeah. I think it's going to be a fun, pretty easy going vibe, I find fascinating.
When I was with Glory, they would make me go interview the guys ahead of time or like even right before their walkout. Like literally, they would get everyone ready and they'd be like, okay, you know, interview them. And then when you're done, they would march. And
there's nothing worse, dude.
Dude, they were always shitty about it. They hated it. I understood.
It's literally the worst moment of your life. Like, yeah. your brain's playing all these tricks on you. And they put, so how are you going to do tonight? Like, I think good, man. You right. know,
so
I
you
don't want to talk to
you. Come from left field and be abstract and just kind of make a difference.
I don't know. I'm going to feel the room out. It might go terrible.
I see Shop get artsy in there. Right?
So there's going to be a ton of celebrities. Are they asking you to interview the celebrities? Like, if Brady is sitting there, you know, all those fucking rings on.
I mean, I guess I'm going to do that. I'm Mario Lopez for Showtime. That's cool, man.
Yeah, that's basically that's a.
Oh, I'm AC Slater. Thanks, yeah. guys. Thanks for me all the
way. I bet AC Slater, Slade back then, though. Okay, just getting.
Probably.
But you were talking about brother and family's important. You have a brother, and protecting a brother is important. I did a stream yesterday with Luke Thomas.
You are such a hoe.
And you know, Floyd and I got into a little dust up about history.
He intentionally provokes Floyd and then asked me to back
him up. I didn't see my brother getting my back. At
what,
all.
What
when Josh Thompson came to this set,
he questioned
and tried
his resume
and tried to send me to hell. I didn't see him getting my back at all.
Dude, when in regards to
Lawrence Larkin sat here.
This motherfucker goes up to the biggest guy at the bar and metaphorically slaps him and then's like, "Hey, fucking fight this guy,
yeah,
bitch."
I mean, why are we here?
No, picked the fight.
We going 18
you fucking fight it.
We going 18 holes in the shoot. I was wearing a
you
sweaty
the
Versace.
Fight.
The point
you
is,
you were just doing it just to get a rise out of him.
I was making art. I was making content. I was, you know, I'm like Logan. I'm a creator. Right,
beer.
But look, it was a legitimate question. It was a legitimate
question.
Okay?
What was the question?
The question was in the past. Floyd,
no, it actually was passive aggressive.
Guys like it was very passive aggressive. Guys like me used to write columns negatively about your resume, but the way we look at you has changed over time. Your legacy is
Dude,
growing like a
goes,
fine wine.
He literally goes, look,
you fought
Floyd.
Everybody.
He goes, yeah. Look, Floyd. Maybe you fought everyone, but you didn't fight them on the schedule that we wanted you to fight.
Anyway, so look,
I was like, oh
that's
shit.
Not,
here
I
we
mean,
go.
That's not
Did
the point.
Floyd fire back.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Oh, we dude, went at, Floyd yeah. got bitter.
He took me to
bitter.
The doghouse, actually. Yeah.
And I literally went like this. I was like,
is this end that girl
it
collection?
Same,
can we?
It was the same setup. It was me here, Brian here, and then you were in Floyd's position. And literally, he was like, you know, maybe you didn't fight him in the order. And listen, but the question is fine. But Floyd, listen.
All I'm
Floyd
saying
is showing up
no,
to
no,
this event
no, no, no,
to
you,
have a good time.
This is
it's
where
a
you
party.
Turn off. I had
it's
a question
a
for yeah, my colleague here at Showtime. But, you know, you shared the stage before or shows with a Brian Callen or who's this guy?
Theo Von?
No, yeah, Theo Von. No, the other guy. The guy, Chappelle's this guy. I mean, you've been around some big-ass names. We must protect this house. You got to get your brothers back, okay, at the end of the day. Floyd's getting in my grill. Luke's like, I'll give you his home address afterwards.
That would have been tough,
his, you know,
man.
Family. I mean, come on.
That'd been tough.
I pulled a Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber, like, fucking.
Yeah, you're all.
He didn't have my back.
You know what's weird is when you hear people go, Brian Callen, I'm finding the kid was saying this. He goes, you don't think because Logan's bigger, he will just get in there and like kind of body him up and like go to the body and make it rough? And I'm like, oh, you mean
him.
Like Madonna tried?
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about the world champion Madonna?
Right.
Oh, yeah, that'll work.
Right.
That it's just like people, and I dig it because everyone's trying to go with these angles. But
the question is, for me, the only one that matters is how long is Floyd going to let it go? Right, because against Connor, he took his time against Connor, 3-4 rounds that were very much Connor's way.
That makes sense, though, because Connor's so awkward, right, and different.
And
so
it was 12
I think
rounds.
He was a little cautious, 12 rounds, right?
I think this one, I'm asking for predictions. Most people are in the 4-6
yeah,
range.
Right.
Yeah. But there is that potential, and look at the tension fight, different size fighter.
He fucking
but
munched
what
him.
If Logan just gets reckless like I want him to do for his best chance of winning, right?
Agree.
Be the bigger guy and just get stupid reckless.
Agree.
It speeds up his chance of getting one punch KO'd
Agree.
Early, of
Which
course.
Which is why we, but it's, that's what we want, though. I don't want to see Logan Paul sitting on the outside trying to pick him apart. You know, it's not happening, dude. You got to go in there and hopefully you land one of those freaking windmills, man.
Have you trained with him at all?
No.
No, never?
Uh-uh.
All right, we play a game on here called Rate That Ink a lot, where Luke, who thinks he's the, you know, do-all,
no,
end-all
I never think that.
Of tattoos.
I literally never
You know,
think
Mr.
That.
Hebos gets his daughter, Amanda, you know,
so
her, big,
you
her UFC
no.
debut
so
on
Amanda,
his forearm.
Amanda Hebos' father got a tattoo.
It's the sweetest
it's,
thing.
It's her
choking
winning,
out Emily Whitmire.
Choking out Emily Whitmire.
It's good work?
No.
Oh, it's no, but the sentiment, it's not
you can't,
bad
you can't
work.
Do
so,
portraits.
So we always look at this guy, he I'm pays for his ink. That's some good shit
so,
right there.
So the watch is nice, but look closely here. You see the black and gray work, the fine detail with like the fleur-de-lis symbol.
Freddie Negrete, man.
Yeah, dude, that's extremely good work.
Yeah, he's good.
That's really good. It's like you got Japanese waves, too.
Yeah.
So you have a bit of a, can
a
you
lot.
Pull up the sleeveless a little
yeah,
bit?
That's a lot.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
So they say
that's good.
They
good.
Say
that's really good black and gray work.
The bicep hurts a lot.
Anyone who told you tattoos don't hurt's full of shit.
I know. People are like, how much do tattoos? Yeah. Like, they're like, I got this one recently, yeah. And folks are like, did it hurt? I'm like,
They said that about my vasectomy too. They were wrong, bro.
Yeah, those
three
needles,
they were wrong, right?
No, tattoo, anytime anyone's told you about a tattoo, they're awful.
How much?
I dread it every time.
How much did you pay for the sleeve?
Oh, you can't ask that on TV.
I have to ask.
I think, so Freddie McGretty, he's like the grandfather of black and white, and he's tattooed in prison.
Dude, look how good this tattoo is. You can see the fingers are all evenly spaced
in
that
monster.
Tiny little spot.
Some would say the fingerist right there.
I would say he's like 800 an hour.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, he's a monster.
I think I may have unplugged my microphone. Social Club? Check?
No, you're still alive. Right. You're good. You're good.
Yeah, he's at Shamrock Social Club.
Yeah, that's legit.
B-Shop, you've done two of the things that are the scariest motherfucking things in the world, right? You stand in the locker room before, about to make the walk for the UFC, and you have your own damn comedy special in which Luke Thomas turned out surprised, and you tore the house down. Which one makes you want to shit more? What's the difference?
I mean, definitely fighting, dude, fighting. Like, if I, let's say, I'll do a set tonight in Miami at the Miami Improv or something. Like, if I bomb, it's all good. I can go up tomorrow or I'll go to L.A. a bunch of times. Dude, fighting. I get knocked out in Nogueira in my underwear in Brazil. I get to see that thing, you know, for a long time.
He sent Crow Cop to the deep depths.
Yeah.
Do you ever have dreams about, like, being in a fight or, like, walking out?
Never, dude. Never.
Do you ever find that weird?
No.
I have recurring dreams about, like, military service all the time.
Really?
Yeah, all the time. All the time.
Weird.
Not nightmares. Just, like, I'm living in
that world.
Yeah,
you're back there. Yeah. I never do. And I'm so far removed from that world. The only reason I think, you know, I got my black belt last week in Denver.
Congratulations. Round of applause for that.
Yeah, let's give it up.
Look at the camera guy. He's like,
guy's like, all right, cool, man. Two-stripe white, bring it.
that was Steve's ripping Jay right there?
Yeah. Brown belt. Yeah. But, yeah, the only reason I did that because my kid started jiu-jitsu, and he was, he the coach was there, and he's like, Dad, they're black belts. I'm like, yeah, they're black belts. And he's like, you're a black belt? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh, is your black belt at home? I'm like, no, because I've never officially done the ceremony.
Yeah.
Like, they more or less told me I was a black belt, but I jumped around from Denver to L.A., so then I was like, I need to get my black belt.
And probably for MMA, you did a ton of no-gi anyway.
A ton of no-gi, competitions and everything. Just because my son just approved him. So when I got my belt, I'm like,
there
you go, dude.
I saw that it was your coaches from Colorado.
Amal Easton, who's Henzo Gracie black belt. I talked to Henzo.
Were you in L.A. or were you in Colorado?
I was in Denver. I flew to Denver just specifically for that.
For that, okay, yeah. That's awesome, man.
That was cool, man.
I've only seen two black belt promotions in person. It's a big deal.
It's a big deal, and they slap you. They whip you with the belt.
They do that, my understanding, at every level. But,
God, it hurt.
R. Kelly was into that, I heard.
Yeah, probably. Did you make a speech?
No.
No?
I started crying. Surprisingly, I started crying.
Yeah. It's a big deal,
my son was there. Yeah, and it's 14 years of jiu-jitsu, man.
Golly. Well, your ears look great.
Yeah, I can't tell, man. Yeah.
They look awesome.
Yeah, man. So we'll see.
Yeah, all right. Well, BC?
This was phenomenal.
You guys
this
got more was... guests today? What do you get?
We have to do a podcast later, like an inside podcast that we do.
Oh, so you guys do this show how many times a week?
Three.
And then you do...
Big fan, huh, Brendan?
Yeah, it's great.
Well, I'm doing my own stuff, man. I do 5 days a week,
I'm teasing.
I wish I could listen
to it,
man.
It's okay. Yeah, 3 days a week. And then we do one called Room Service Diaries, where we're probably going to get fired.
We
just talk about raunchy shit. Yeah.
You can take over the show.
Pornography and feces, that kind
of
thing.
Some fun stuff.
So, we drink.
Do you guys listen to any other shows? I don't listen to other fight shows.
No, not really.
Because they talk about it. I'm all good.
I've often said if I listen to other people's fight opinions too much, they just become mine, and I don't even mean to do that.
I'll find it like a kernel of
it's inception. They plant it in your brain, so I just kind of like push it away.
Luke was debating over breakfast, and I didn't think it was an acceptable topic to bring up here, but he was like, "Do you think Brendan Slade more as a Division I college football player or a UFC fighter?"
And I had a girl in college, man. So
you fucking idiot! Why did you have a girlfriend in college?
Like you said, I was an idiot, man.
Jesus. Can you imagine being a Division I athlete and being like, I'm monogamous?
I know.
What are you doing?
I know. Nightmare.
If you're a football, I had a friend of mine who was a football player, but his dad was a doctor. This is a true story. He was a shitty football player, just enough to like get to college, but he had no designs on ever going anywhere else
Division
after that.
Division
I? Double A. Division I, okay, so mid-major or something.
Yeah.
And his dad was a doctor. This dude ran through so much. I'm not even gonna say what the word is. He would get gonorrhea not infrequently. He would call his dad.
Shout out to dad.
Who would write him a prescription for gonorrhea, and then he would just go right back to just hacking the machete. You couldn't fucking believe it.
Benefits of having your dad as a dog.
Yeah.
Wow.
And being a Division I athlete.
Yeah. Luke is a notorious blocker of anyone online who has a different opinion from him. He has no time for that.
How so
do
not
you,
true.
You are at a level that we'd like to get to in terms of numbers. How do you deal with the hate?
I don't see any of it. I don't see any. I probably haven't seen comments or any of that stuff in almost 2 years. Yeah.
It's poisonous, yeah. It can be. It can be.
It should, yeah, but.
You feel free.
Yeah, I feel free. I don't care, you know, and if, you know, it's like I never did it. Like, let's say when you were going to start whatever it was. Let's say when I was going to start to get my black belt. If I went online, I was like, hey, guys, you think I can get my black belt? You think it's going to be encouraging on there? Like, it's a nightmare, dude. So I never look for them.
Fuck you, bro.
I don't look for them for career advice. Yeah. I don't know why people put so much attention into it.
Also, like, the first time I ever realized that, like, Twitter was not real life, we had this sort of moment. I had actually covered Tito Ortiz as a fighter when he was going to fight. It was who was it? It was the card in Memphis. I forget who even was at this point. King Mo was on the card. This is the card where King Mo on air called Bjorn Rebney a dick rider. Right? I was there, dude.
I love King Mo.
Okay. King Mo is fucking awesome. Yeah, okay. So I was sitting there and I remembered the whole week, you know, because Tito even back then was a little punchliney. You know, he was just constantly saying shit. You would be like, okay. But whatever. Then he shows up on fight night, and dude, the crowd lost their shit for him every time he was on screen. And if you look at his mentions, they're a fucking graveyard all the time.
I'm sure.
But it had nothing to do with how he was received in that space.
Yeah, they say if you walk down the street, 1 in 10 people are on Twitter.
Oh, Jesus.
So when you walk down the street, it's like 1 in 10.
Maybe, you know? In L.A. Not so much Boise.
Oh, even out here, I doubt it's not even 1 in 10.
Yeah.
So it's people put too much. For what I do, I have to have it, right? I'm kind of like my own PR firm. Like, you have to have it. But if I didn't have to have it, I'd be out, man.
Thick boy merch. You're going to buy another pool with that thing?
I think so, man.
Fuck you.
Crush.
I'm sitting here counting subscribers like pennies in my laundry.
Get another. You still do the Luke Thomas stuff?
I've kind of shut it down because this one is a jealous little thing.
I don't understand this at all.
I'm probably going to bring it back and just have a different lane.
That was my favorite thing you did.
Thanks. Yeah, I will do some things. But
I don't think people realize how hard it is to talk into a camera.
Yeah.
I don't think you should do that. By yourself, like, you know, probably the best is Bill Burr, but as far as like to just talk into the camera.
For
like,
an hour straight.
Hit and just go. It's like, it's I don't think people, it's a, like, it, it really, it's a talent, man. It's such a beast.
Yeah, I'll bring it back in some capacity. So
this man once made Dana take a knee. I mean, I was there. I saw it online. He made Dana take a knee. He won that stare down. Okay.
I did.
Dana put me in a 4-minute hate video, and I'm still standing. All right.
Nice poison ivy. Why don't you get that more in your face?
Is it poison ivy?
Oh, do you have poison ivy?
Yeah, it's fucking neck. It's spreading. It's coming for you. All right.
Did you go in the ocean? Because I saw there was this flesh eating bacteria in there getting to people. Well, did you go in the ocean?
My buddy's friend's a doctor. He can prescribe something for your gonorrhea.
I was a couple miles over, and Robert Kraft texted me. He was like, "I got a great place we can work. We can work that shit
in
out.
And out.
Just get it.
Just make sure you wear a mask.
Yeah,
are you
yeah.
performing this weekend?
I think I might do a pop-up set tonight at the Improv. Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know who the headliner is there, so hopefully they let me.
That's weird, right? Because
it's weird.
You can't, like, they're paying for a headliner. They have accommodations between shows, or how does it work?
No, they would just add me to their show as a surprise guest.
They pay you for that?
No, I don't care. I'm looking for payment.
Yeah, you're just looking for stage.
Yeah, just stage. Yeah, that'd be cool.
How has Florida been during this?
Great, dude. Run? You know what's weird is. You know, Florida's great, but it's far. And, like, they'd be like, hey, we got – because they're the only place that was full capacity. So, like, I went to Naples, and so I heard so many horror stories. Oh, it's called off-the-hook comedy in Naples. Off-the-hook comedy. And I'm like, are they, like, serving fish and chips while you're on stage? And, like, yeah, man. You'll be on stage in the middle of a punchline here, B-72, B-72.
Oh,
I'm like,
Jesus.
No way. So I was like, yeah, it's an experience. So I go out there. They completely redone it. The guy's name's Captain Brian. He, like, put all this money in. It's a legit club. Naples, I didn't realize Naples is, like, the richest town.
Yeah, a lot of old white people in there.
Dude,
yeah.
Nuts.
I heard Boca was super.
Boca's pretty crazy. That. Naples even bigger than that. Naples was
really
nuts. nuts.
I had no idea.
I mean, I didn't either.
We need to go on tour tonight, okay? We'll call up John Anik. We'll get Rashad in there. Maybe Rashad could get me on some peyote. I can you know, fix my bruises.
You can't even handle Afrin, less.
I could go 15 minutes with the toad.
Okay? Benadryl on that neck, Daddy. that vanilla camouflage is not hot.
Yeah.
Is it allergic reaction?
It's an allergic reaction to fame because we are making some moves.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, so much fame. I heard you got a lot of viewers yesterday.
Some would say it's the curse of the Gucci robe, the Versace robe. You know, we put it on. You know, we saw what happened to Masvidal, Adesanya, McGregor, Billy Joe Saunders, and then BC has a neck rash during the biggest week of his career.
And you shit your pants.
Yeah, and I have low testosterone and no sex drive. Wow, welcome to 42.
Florida's been tough, man.
How old are you now?
38.
30. You're getting there. You're going to be 40 soon, there. Fucker.
Yeah, you're going to have old balls real soon, bro.
Getting there, man.
You and I should go on a 2013 Belfort tour. You know what I mean? Oh, just get like dope. The mohawk and just get cool. TRT'd up to the gills,
I'd be down
bro.
For that.
I'm not far from consider. I've had a conversation with my wife about it already.
About TRT?
Yeah, I'm not ready.
I don't get why not.
I'm not ready for it now. But I just want to do my own. I want to talk to my doctor. I want to get more information about it.
Stop trusting science, okay? You can take around
better.
You can take around the back knee so you can stop being an old bitch.
You're not signing up for science.
I told my wife, I'm like, I'm thinking about it. And she was like, we'll see how it goes. But it's on my radar.
She don't tell me what to do, devil woman. Ripped.
She doesn't care about that at all, dude. She doesn't care about being swole.
We'll see. You start throwing that big thing around the pool. You know what I'm saying? We'll see what's up. You get out there and throwing that thing around.
Yeah, we'll see. I think she'll change her tune, too. But at the same time, I think like 45, careful there. I think around 45 is when I might start like talking to my doctor. Like, hey, we got to.
Look, you might not be the old guy who's real swole, though.
I don't want to be the old guy who's frail. Dude, like the biggest determinant of injury in later life is to the extent you don't have lean muscle mass.
Right?
The two are connected. So if you're going to have muscle mass on your frame, you know, obviously there's a healthy and unhealthy way to do it. But if there's a healthy way to do it with some fucking, I'm going to for sure.
I'm with him.
Do you think Lou Gehrig had a rash before it overtook him?
I don't want to answer that because I'm going to get fired.
All right. Is it just there or is it all over?
It's just here for now.
It actually starts under his balls and just fires all the way up.
Huh. Yeah, it's the curse of the Versace. Although I hear that it's the black robe and you wore the black robe.
I did wear the black robe.
The future of your career is probably in Canada or something really bad.
It's probably in peril. Yeah, okay. I'm going to get fired.
Okay. We had a good run, though.
All right. Well, Brendan.
Well, guys, great seeing you.
We went a lot more. Yeah.
Get rid of that rash before we work together.
Put some makeup
tip
on that.
Tip on tip, neck on neck. All right. I'm going to make out with you.
But one more time, a reminder: 5 p.m. in the East tomorrow. Brendan Shaw, Brian Campbell, yours truly here. We'll be hosting the weigh-ins. It will not be on the MK stream. It will be on the show's sports, the Showtime stream. So go check that out. We'll tweet it out. I'm sure one of our various.
You can catch a rising star on Star Search, Brendan Shaw.
Ooh, I wish I was on Star Search.
That would be badass, right? With Uncle Joey,
blow up that career, get the four, the five. Was it five stars? Was the most
five star? Justin Timberlake got five stars.
Did he get five stars? Fuck that guy.
I know.
Fuck that guy. I hate it.
All right, guys, love you.
Thank you, Brendan. We'll talk to you soon. There it is.
Wow. I mean, he's cool. Some would say the coolest, right?
Definitely the golf zing really hurt, and I need to go cry about it because I was like, God damn it, he's right.
I would love to go on a 2013 TRT tour of duty with him. We would slay.
We should do. We should just move in together, live in a basement. I have the weights. Just do fucking ass loads of steroids for 6 months,
and then
come out looking fucking swole as
shit. Listen to nothing but Cannibal Corpse. And
we'll just leave our families. You never talk to him again.
Corey, Manich, you have the floor if you want to sing, or you can just let me know. Do we have more guests coming in?
No, we're done. They told you to wrap it.
Let's put a bow on this thing. Luke, UFC Fight Night is this weekend. Augusto Sakai against Jair Rozenstruik.
Jesus, come on. What are we doing?
You're not doing that.
No, the show's
what are we doing here, right? I mean, come on, bro. You know, I mean, seriously.
I heard your other thing, too. Never met him.
No. It did go down a lot like the Wilder smash joke, you know?
It did. All right, can we close this off?
You know, unlike Ally Quincy's, no selling, you know, no selling me at all. Would you buy a condo from Al?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
I mean, I don't want to move to Long Island.
He came raging at you on Twitter.
It's
all right.
People have different opinions.
A little skirmish.
Okay.
You know what I didn't do?
I don't dislike Al because he disliked one of my views.
Do you know what I didn't do on purpose? Huh. Get your fucking back, bro.
Yeah, I didn't notice you were missing either. I don't cry about those things.
You old bitch.
I don't cry.
That's Morning Combat. Hope you enjoyed this wild episode setting the stage for Mayweather Paul. Thank you to our guests, Chad Johnson, Brian Maxwell, Brendan Schaub.
Luis Arias.
Adios. Adios. My name is Brian Campbell. Of course, that's Luke Thomas. To just reset where we are, where we are in this wild week. Obviously, the fight is Sunday night.
Wrap it up.
Not Saturday. Yeah. All right, Luke.
Wrap it up, B.
Okay, bro. You know, I'm trying to sell our shit. You know, whatever, though. Okay? Whatever, bro. I mean, you know, I'm only making art. I'm only making a documentary here, but, you know.
We'll see you tomorrow, 5 p.m. in the East for the weigh-ins for this. Then probably not much else. We're going to shoot Room Service Diaries today, and then that's going to be the end of our careers, probably.
We're old and pasty. It's BC and LT. I got two words for you. We out.